So 2 Samuel begins right where Saul, the king of Israel, has died. And David has learned the news that his king has died. And this is David's reaction to this news. We'll read this and then we'll look at all the story that goes behind this. This is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 and then 17 through 27. After the death of Saul, David returned from his victory over the Amalekites and spent 2 days in Ziklag. Then David composed a funeral song for Saul and Jonathan, and he commanded that it be taught to the people of Judah. It is known as the Song of the Bow, and it is recorded in the book of Jashar. This is the song that David wrote when his king died. This is a song that is 3,000 years old. Hear these words written by King David. Your pride and joy, O Israel, lies dead on the hills. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Don't announce the news in Gath. Don't proclaim it in the streets of Ascalon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice and the pagans will laugh in triumph. Oh, mountains of Gilboa, there let no dew or rain upon you, nor fruitful fields producing offerings of grain. For there the shield of the mighty heroes was defiled. The shield of Saul will no longer be anointed with oil. The bow of Jonathan was powerful, and the sword of Saul did its mighty work. They shed the blood of their enemies and pierced the bodies of mighty heroes. How beloved and gracious were Saul and Jonathan. They were together in life and death. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. O women of Israel, weep for Saul, for he dressed you in luxurious scarlet clothing and in garments decorated with gold. Oh, how the mighty heroes have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies dead on the hills. How I weep for you, my brother Jonathan. Oh, how much I loved you. And your love for me was deep, deeper than the love of women. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Stripped of their weapons, they lie dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, guide this time of storytelling that we may experience anew the life of David and the faithfulness of David and the example that David makes for us. David, the ancestor of Jesus, shows us what it means to be a Messiah, what it means to be the anointed one. May we find in him inspiration on how we may live ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this is going to be new. This is going to be different. What I'd like to try to do is tell the fun stories of the Old Testament through this sermon series, looking specifically at the life of David, who became king. But most of us don't know that much about David, right? We know a little bit about it. What do y'all know about David? What's one thing you know about David? What do you know? He was a king, that's right. What else do you know? What do you know? He fought Goliath. Now, how many of y'all knew he fought Goliath? I think all of y'all probably knew that, right? So he fought Goliath, and the big deal about that is that he was a boy, right? And Goliath was this giant. He was this 9-foot monster man, and all the people were afraid of him. But we get ahead of ourselves. Let's get to the part where David fights Goliath by understanding what happened before. So I have parts for all the grown-ups as well as parts for all the kids. Okay, so I got to teach you what you're going to be saying as we go through this. Okay, so the story starts with the people in Israel having left Egypt, having been freed, having gotten the Ten Commandments, having entered the Promised Land, having conquered much of the Promised Land, they're there trying to live out the life that God wants. But they see that all the people around them have kings, and they don't have a king. They want a king. Israel doesn't have a king because God is their king, and they're supposed to be listening to God, right? But the people all say, we want a king. So men and boys, your job is to say, we want a king. Okay, ready? We want a king. We want a king. We want a king. That's what was going on in early Israel. And God heard that message. But you know what God did? Instead of sending them a king, they sent them instead a prophet. A prophet. I don't mean a prophet like making money. I mean a prophet like a preacher. A prophet is somebody who's kind of like a preacher. His job is to speak God's word to God's people. God gives the prophet a message, and the message is shared by the prophet to the people. I need a volunteer to be a prophet. Oh, my goodness, I got one. All right, your hand went up first, Harold. Come here, over here. You're going to be my prophet. Your name is Samuel, okay? Does she look like Samuel, y'all? And you get to have this. Okay, so y'all can tell she's a prophet now because she's got the stole. All right? So Pearl is my prophet. She is Samuel. Okay? Now, Samuel, you have one thing that you say over and over again. Do what God says. Can you say that?
Do what God says.
Loud. Everybody needs to hear this.
Do what God says.
You hear that? Do what God says. That's what Samuel says. And you're going to keep saying that. Okay? I'll point to you when it's time. So Samuel came to the people and he told the people, do you think they listened? No. You know what the guy said? What did the guy said? We want a king. We want a king. What do you say? And God didn't say get a king. Guess who won? The people. God said, okay, I'll give you a king. So he picked a king. And do you know what his name was? Any of y'all know what the first king's name was? Any of you grown-ups know the first king?
Saul, right.
Saul was picked to be the king because he was from a small tribe in Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. And they picked a small tribe because that way people would know that it wasn't the power of the tribe that made him successful. It was the power of God that made him successful. And so he picked the tallest person from the tribe of Benjamin to be the king. Lily, would you mind being my Saul? She's got a crown already, and she's quite tall, and so you are my Saul. Now, you have a thing to say, okay? Your thing to say is going to be, I'll do it my way. I'll tell you when to say that. You can imagine how this might go, right? All right, so the people got a king, and they loved the king, because the men said, we want a king. We want a king. And you can say, here I am, right? We've got the king. We got Saul. And Saul was a very successful king at first. He led the armies into battles against the enemies to protect the people. And he won every time because he was listening to what God said. He listened to what Samuel told him God was saying. Okay. Until his successes went to his head. And then Saul started saying the wrong thing. Saul started to say, I'll do it my way. Yeah, that's right. Keep saying it. Say, I'll do it my way. Go ahead. That's right. So there was supposed to be a worship service before they went into battle that Samuel was supposed to consecrate. You were supposed to come and consecrate the service, but you were late. I don't know what was going on, but you were late. And Saul got impatient, said, I'll just do it myself because I'll do it my way. So as soon as the service was over that Saul led and wasn't supposed to, Samuel came up and Samuel said,
do what God says.
That's right. Do what God says. But it was too late. Saul had already messed it up and God was unhappy with Saul for that reason. So kids, I want you to know what Saul said in reply. I want all of you to say this with her. When Saul realized he had made a mistake, Saul said, just kidding, so sorry, I'll never do it again. Can y'all say that? Just kidding, so sorry, I'll never do it again. Very good. That's what Saul said when he made a mistake. Do you think that was the last time he made a mistake? No. So Saul goes off to battle, and Saul says, yeah, I'll do it my way. The battle went badly. Samuel said,
do what God
says. And Saul said, no, just kidding. So sorry. Won't do it again. Well, guess what? He did it again. Went into battle another time. Saul said,
I'll do it my way.
It didn't go well. Everything went badly. Samuel came and said, And Saul said, I've made a terrible mistake. So sorry. Just kidding. Won't do it again. All right. But this time God's kind of had enough. He doesn't buy it that Saul's going to do right anymore. And God says, I need a new king. So he tells Samuel,
Do what God says.
So Samuel goes to find the new king. Saul is still the king, but he goes to get a new king. So God sends Samuel to the family of Jesse. Jesse lives in Bethlehem. I think y'all have heard of Bethlehem. Jesse lives in Bethlehem. He's a shepherd, and he has lots of boys. This seems like a good place to go find a new king. So Samuel shows up at Jesse's house, and he looks at all the boys one by one. Bring the oldest boy. Is this the right one? God says no. Bring the next one. Is this the right one? God says no. Bring the next one. Bring the next one. They keep going. Seven boys of Jesse come forward, and God tells Samuel each time, that's not the right one. And then Samuel says, do you have any more boys? Like, seven's not enough? Well, I've got one more. He's out in the field with the sheep singing. Samuel says, bring him in. And who walks in? Do you know who came in? David. That's right. That's how Samuel met David. David was out as a shepherd singing. He loved to sing. Okay? And God told Samuel, that's the one. That's the one we want. So right then and there, Samuel anointed David. I need a volunteer to be David. Who wants to be David? Okay. Come on, Crawford. Crawford, you are now King David. Now, I want you to kneel, and Samuel's going to anoint you. Pretend like you're pouring oil on his head. There you go. Now, he's all covered with oil. He's all wet. That's good. He's really well anointed. Thank you. Thank you, King David. You may rise. By the way, did you know that the word anointed in Hebrew is the word Messiah? That's where we get the term Messiah from, is the king that's anointed. So Christ is the Greek version of that. That's a title, the anointed one. David is our anointed king. But we already have a king. We have Saul, so David's kind of the king in waiting. Okay? How do you think that's going to go? Not so good. All right. So now we get to the point of the famous story of David and Goliath. So now David knows he's king, but not everybody else knows this. And so David's big brothers are off at war. Saul is the king, and he's leading them in battle against the Philistines. The Philistines are the same people that we call Palestinians today. This battle between the Jews and the Palestinians has been going on more than 3,000 years. And this is the battle that's going on, that Saul is leading the army of Israel against the army of the Philistines. And the Philistines have a superman who is their leader, who is their great warrior. And his name is Goliath. Right. Very good. So David, his job is to go back and forth between the army and his daddy's house, because he's got to tend the sheep, but he's also got to bring food to his brothers who are fighting the battle. So David's going back and forth. And Goliath comes out and he says, Hebrews, you Israel people, y'all are a bunch of wimps. Send somebody out here to fight me, and if you win, we'll bow down to you, but if I win, then you're going to bow down to us. And the people are terrified, especially Saul. Look terrified. They're all afraid, but not David. David comes up and he says, your thing that you're going to get to say over and over again is, what does God want? What does God want? God wants this man defeated. And so David comes up to Saul, and Saul says,
I'll do it my way.
That's right. Saul says, do it my way. So Saul gives David his big old armor and his big old helmet and his big old spear. And David's so small, he can't even pick it up. And he says, I can't do that. He says,
What would God want?
So what God wants is that he does it the way he's good at. David's been fighting off bears and lions to protect the sheep for years using a slingshot. Okay? I have a surprise for y'all.
A few years ago, Patricia and I went to Israel, and the bus stopped right where David fought Goliath. And they stopped so we could pick up some rocks. These are actually rocks from Israel, from the very place where David fought Goliath. So I need you to take one of these. Okay? Oh, you don't get one. Yeah, you're doing it your way. But he's doing it God's way. I'll share these with all of you in a minute. And so David says, I can get him with a slingshot. So don't throw it though. And knocks Goliath down and kills Goliath. And they win. And David is a hero. And the whole nation knows about David. He's a rock star. And so Saul says, do it my way means David's going to come work for me now. So David's going to become a mighty warrior in Saul's house. And so actually David moves into Saul's house. And he becomes best friends with Saul's son Jonathan. They're very close friends. And David marries Saul's daughter, Michal. So he's tight in the family. And as he gets bigger, as he's a kid, he's singing songs. Just like he sang for the sheep, he now sings songs for Saul. Because Saul is disturbed that things aren't going well. And so you want to sing? It's fine. So here's what's about to start happening. David was very popular in Israel, and Saul knew he was a great warrior. So as David gets bigger, David starts going out and leading his armies into battle. And he's pretty successful. In fact, he's very successful. In fact, he's so successful that the ladies start singing a song about him. So ladies, this is your cue. The men said, we want a king. The ladies sing this song, okay? The ladies sing, Saul is great, but David is greater. Can y'all do that with me? Saul is great, but David is greater. Saul is great, but David is greater. Now, how do you think Saul's taking all that? Not so good. So Saul gets jealous of David. Even though David's Saul's rock star, his general, his king of the army, when David comes home, Saul's jealous. So one day, David's singing a song, la la la, for Saul because Saul's upset. And Saul gets so upset, you know what Saul does? Saul takes a spear and throws it at him. Luckily, David got away. But Saul said, why would you do that? I'm loyal to you. You're my king. Because I always do what God would tell me to do, right? What would God want? God would want me to obey you, Saul. You're the king. But Saul said,
I'll do it my way.
That's right. So he tried to kill David. It didn't work. Saul felt bad. And so do you remember what Saul said? Just kidding. So sorry. It won't happen again. All right. So now, David gets away. Saul gets angry. Saul sends his army to track down David and get him. So David's on the run. You're on the run. Yeah. All right. And Saul, you're chasing him. And at one point, you need a break. So David, you're hiding behind those chairs. David went with his men into a cave. Now, I'm not going to make you act this out. Just, I want you to go sit down on the chair. Because Saul had to go potty. Sit down. Saul had to go potty right in front of where David is hiding in the cave. And David's men say, get him. He's been trying to kill you. Now's your chance. You can get him. But what does David say? What would God want? Instead of getting Saul, David reaches up and cuts a corner of Saul's robe off. Then Saul's finished and comes back for it. Come on out. And then David stands up and says, look what I have. Why would you try to kill me? I could have killed you and I didn't because God wouldn't want me to kill you. So Saul says, just kidding. So sorry. I won't do it again. Yeah. Come on back. Thanks, David. So a few weeks later, Saul's got his army marching around, chasing after David. And Saul says, I'm tired. I'm going to sleep. Be my guest. Yeah, lay down. Okay. And your sword is right next to you here on the ground. And David sees what's going on. Saul's asleep in the camp, and David says, David and his men say, let's go check out what's going on here. So David comes up and sees Saul sleeping, and David says, would God want David to kill Saul? No. But so that Saul would know that David was a good man, David took Saul's sword and ran away. And then Saul woke up. And David stood up and said, Saul, Saul, I could have killed you, but instead I just took your sword to show you that I would never harm you because. And Saul said, just kidding. So sorry. I'll never do it again. All right. So enough. This whole time, come on forward, David. You've done a great job avoiding King Saul. God has completely gotten disappointed with Saul. Samuel, in the meantime, has been watching all this go on and has been giving David good advice. And what advice do you give David? Listen to God. Yeah, do what God says. And you've been telling that to Saul, too. What did you tell Saul?
Do what God says.
Now, what did they say? Saul says,
I'll do it my way.
That's not good. What did David say? So you can see who God's favoring in all of this. Sadly, I'm sorry to say, Samuel dies. Samuel was an old man. Samuel dies. But we're not finished with you yet. Samuel dies. And God tells David, you need to run away and hide because Saul's not going to give up. Even though he keeps saying he's sorry, he's never going to do it again, he doesn't mean it. Guess where David goes to get safe? You won't believe this. It's in the Bible. Check it. David runs to the Philistines. He goes and lives with the Philistines for years. And he fights for the Philistines. And they love him. They even give him a town called Ziklag. And he gets to build a whole army in Ziklag, and all his friends are in Ziklag, and he's there helping the Philistines because God has turned his back on Saul and is protecting David through the enemies of Saul. So David stays there, and all of a sudden the Philistines say, it's now time for us to attack Israel. We think Saul is weak. We think we can get him. The Philistines prepare for war against Israel. David stays behind in Ziklag. Saul sees the Philistine army coming, and he's scared to death. And you know what he says? I wish Samuel was still alive so he could tell me what to do. So guess what? Saul says, I need a witch. Who'd like to be a witch? You want to be a witch? Okay, come on up here. We have a witch. All right. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? He's a good witch. All right. Thank you, good witch. So, Saul, you come back over here a minute, Samuel. Come back over here. Saul, you go to the witch and say, I need Samuel.
I need Samuel.
And the witch says, okay. Okay. So the witch conjures up Samuel. So Samuel comes back from heaven as a ghost. Can you look like a scary ghost? And you know what Samuel says to Saul? What does Samuel say to Saul?
Do what God says.
Do what God says. That's right. Always the same message. Do what God says. And Saul says, just kidding. So sorry. I'll never do it again, but it's too late. And Samuel says, you're going to lose. And this will be the end. Yeah, you're going to lose. And so Samuel went back to heaven. The witch went home. Great job, witch. Thank you. And you're done, too. You're in heaven now, so you're great. Thank you. The Israel. Thank you. And so we have a final battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. All right, so I think we need to have a battle. We have some swords over here. I think the girls need to be the Philistines and the boys need to be the Israelites. So come over here and let's get some swords. Okay, so I don't know if we have enough swords for everybody, but it's going to be boys against girls, okay? No, you don't. Yeah, you get one. David doesn't get one. You're hiding. You're off in Ziklag. Okay. Yeah, you're off in Ziklag. Okay, girls over here, boys over here. I know, so the rest of you are just going to have to be scary, okay? All right. Come on over here. You're with the boys. All right. And Saul, I'm sorry, but you're a boy, so you have to be over here. Okay, come over here. So this is Saul. This is Saul's son, Jonathan. These are the Philistines. Just so you know, when you go into battle, they win and you lose. Okay, so let's have a battle. Go. All right, now it's time for y'all to lose. Go ahead and lose. There you go. He's got the spirit. All right. So you died. I'm sorry. All right. So Saul and Jonathan and all the Hebrews die, and the Philistines win. Yay? I don't know. It's a sad day for Israel. Their army has lost to the Philistines. The Philistines are taking over, and David is in hiding in Philistine land. It looks really, really bad. But David, come up here for a minute. Y'all are good. Y'all can go back to your seats. Thank you for a spirited battle. We're almost done. Thank you for the swords. Yep. Thank you. We can just put them on the ground. There we go. All right. So David has been saved. By going and staying with the Philistines, David's still alive. And that's because he was anointed, he's now the king. Okay? Now, I want you to put yourself in David's position. He's been chased by Saul's army for years. And he always said,
"What would God want?"
What would God want? And because he had a heart for God, God knew that he had a heart like his. God protected him. Should David be happy? The enemy, Saul, has been killed. David has been spared. Should he be celebrating that his king is dead and that he is safe? No. Because David said, "What would God say?" Instead of celebrating that his tormentor is gone, he wrote a song of lament. My enemy was my king, and the king anointed him. The Lord anointed him, so he is my king, and I'm sad. So he wrote the song I read to you that's 3,000 years old to tell people how heartbroken he was, that the man who had been trying to kill him was dead. How remarkable is that? I'm not going to make you read it. Thank you, David. You can have a seat, too. I'm going to read you the lament again so you can hear what David wrote. The battle was on the mountain called Gilboa. Your pride and joy, O Israel, lies dead on the hills. Don't announce the news in Gath. That's a Philistine town. Don't proclaim it in the streets of Ascalon. That's another enemy. Or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice and the pagans will laugh in triumph that King Saul is dead. David wrote, in the mountains of Gilboa, where that battle just happened, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor fruitful fields producing offerings of grain. For there the shield of the mighty heroes was defiled. The shield of Saul will no longer be anointed with oil. The bow of Jonathan was powerful, and the sword of Saul did its mighty work. They shed the blood of their enemies and pierced the bodies of mighty heroes. How beloved and gracious were Saul and Jonathan. How beloved and gracious were Saul and Jonathan. They were together in life and in death. They were swifter and stronger than lions. O women of Israel, weep for Saul. For he dressed you in luxurious scarlet clothing, in garments decorated with gold. Oh, how the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies dead in the hills. I weep for you, my brother Jonathan. powerful words by a man who knew what his great, 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 great grandson would say centuries later when Jesus taught his disciples. You've heard that the law says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. David was a man after God's own heart. A man that Jesus taught us all to be like. I hope this has helped you see a little bit about the powerful story of David. Why he was a man after God's own heart. Why it was a descendant of David that was our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And this characteristic of David of loving his enemies is one that we should all emulate. Let us all be like Saul.